All right, you got me today. I'm Johnny. I'm the director here at HSM, and the reason why you have me today is because Ryan is actually in Maine right now. Ryan's teaching at Maine, so I don't know what your lunch plans is after church right now. Push them back. Go into the 12 o'clock service and listen from Ryan. He did an amazing job yesterday. It was really great, and so I would encourage you guys to do that. We're going to finish our series today. We've been doing Jesus Is for 4 weeks, okay? We're going to finish it today. We're going to finish it, and I really hope that this resonates with you, because we're going to look at Jesus and, like, okay, at Jesus' DNA and what he was really just, like, instinctively known as from the very, very beginning of his ministry. Was he was known as this healer. He was known as this miracle worker. And we're going to look at a couple stories and a couple really, really incredible stories of what Jesus did in this moment. And one thing to realize, though, is he's not after ultimately just the physical problem. He's after something different. He's after something different. He's after some heart issue. He's after some crucial heart issue in each one of these peoples, in each one of these healings. He's after something else. And there's a greater problem. There's a greater sickness. There's a spiritual sickness going on, and he ultimately wants to know that he can heal that. And here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to keep saying this today. You're not going to search for healing unless you realize that you're sick, right? You're not going to go look for a cure for anything that's going on in here. Maybe you're looking at the world right now, and gosh, you turn on the news for 5 minutes, you can kind of feel like, man, there's an issue. There's a problem going on in this world, and there's got to be a cure for that. There's got to be this cure for that problem, and Jesus answers that. I mean, this past summer, I got this little bump right here on my thigh. It was like itchy, started to hurt a little bit, and I just kind of blew it off, like, you know, whatever. I worked at a golf course. It could have just been like a bug bite or something like that, and it started getting worse. It started getting worse. Like, it started to get, like, gosh, it's going to sound gross, but, like, it started, you know, get a little puffy, and, like, it started to get, like, really, really sore. So, like, I'm, like, limping. It's just, like, gosh, it's a little bump. Like, what's going on? And I just keep thinking, I'm fine, whatever. I'm, like, I'm fine. It's fine. And, like, I'm just showing people, like, dude, what's wrong? You sprained your ankle? No, I got a bug bite. Like, what? And like, you look at it, and it's, like, that doesn't look good. Because it's starting to spread. It's starting to get, like, really red. Sooner or later, my whole thigh is, like, inflamed. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not fine. This is not good. Like, I'm at home. I'm doing the heat compression. I'm looking up. I'm Googling everything I got. Like, I'm WebMD. And I'm finally just, like, I give up. I don't know what this is. It's really scary for me to want to know what this is, but I got to go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor, and I walk in. And, like, super uncomfortable, the guy's like, okay, where is it? I'm like, it's, like, right here. All right, let me see it. I'm like, no. He's like, dude, you got to show me what's going on. So I'm like, okay, fine. And I show him it, and this is so comforting, because he goes, oh. He's like, oh, that's exactly the look you want from a doctor when he sees, like, no, you're supposed to be calm, man. You're supposed to be collected and calm and make you feel assured. Like, oh, yeah, here, just point this ointment on. It's going to go away. But he goes, oh. And so I'm like, what? What do you mean? What does that mean? Well, it's called a staph infection, Johnny. You know what that is? Staph infection, anyone in here? Yeah, okay, no. Here's what it is. Don't go on a cruise and go into the sauna every day and don't shower. Okay, I did that summer. I went on a cruise, went into the sauna with my brother. It was fun, and that's what happens. Bacteria happens in saunas, and when it gets into your leg, it creates this crazy problem. I'm not going to go into the details of what he had to do, but it involves a little bit of this, a little bit of this, and a little bit of this. It was the most painful experience of my entire life. But I got to this point, right, where I realized, okay, I'm not fine. Like, I've obviously, there's no hydrogen peroxide or neosporin that can heal what's going on right now. And he had to go in. I was desperate. Desperate enough to get onto that hospital table, doctor's table, and let him do his thing. And we're going to look at a story today where a woman is so desperate in this moment, what she has, the sort of a sickness that she has, and even, like, socially what it means for her, she is so desperate that she'll do whatever it takes, because she ultimately knows that there's one other option I have, and it's Jesus. But what's so beautiful is he goes after something other than what's going on with her physically. Go there right now. If you've got your Bibles, go to Mark 5. And if you don't have your Bibles, we've got guys in the back. We've got part of the Shake It team. We've got our interns. We want you to have a Bible in your hands, especially this morning. We're going to be jumping around. Guarantee you these things don't have Flappy Birds on them. I don't want to see you right now doing this or that stupid poo egg thing. Just, it's not stupid. You're never going to get to 1,000,000 cracks, man, I promise you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, sorry, that was a terrible illustration. So grab your Bibles, go to Mark 5, if you would. Mark 5, we're going to go to verse 24. This is an incredible story. And as you're opening up your Bibles, let's get one thing straight here. When you're in history class, you have no problem opening that book, and you have no problem in like reading the stories of real people, real events, and believing it. Like, man, I'm reading about Abraham Lincoln right now. I'm reading about the Civil War. This is cool. This really happened. All that. Guys, look, there's really no difference in your history book than this book right here. There's actually a big difference. This is the most historically accurate thing we have. And so when we read this story right now, when we go back in a few other chapters earlier and we read about another story, like, this is real. Jesus is real. It's really like obvious for me to tell you that right now. Like, right, we're in church. Like, you showed up to church. You're like, oh, well, that was a fun fact, Johnny. Thank you. I didn't know that. No, but like, don't just read these words for a second. Jesus is 100%, was 100% a real person, and these actually happened. There's a guy named Josephus. He's a historian back in this time, and he wrote a book about the history of the time, and he said, there's a guy named Jesus out there who's doing miracles. We have a documented non-Christian historian saying there's a guy doing miracles out there. His name is Jesus, and he's like not even a man. He's referring to like he's got some sort of deity thing going on. I hope that as we read these stories today that something jumps out at you a little bit more. You can actually be immersed in this, and you can believe it, that it really happened and that it has transforming power. So go and go to verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. I'd rather not explain what that means. Please figure it out on yourself. Look into the context for a second. A woman there was subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet, listen to this, instead of getting better, she grew worse. She spent all she had. Her savings is gone. She's got nothing left, and she's seeing all of these people, and like they're like not helping her. They're actually making her worse. So she's probably so frustrated. I've had this for 12 years, and nothing's gone away. When she heard of Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his cloak because she thought, if I even just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from the suffering. And at once Jesus, he was walking, and he realized that the power had gone from him, and he stops. And he turns around and goes, who touched my clothes? Like, I love it. There's thousands of people. Disciples say, you see the people crowding around you, Jesus, and yet you ask who touched you. That's brilliant. Jesus ignores him. He's like, shut up. He keeps looking around. He's like, no, someone touched my clothes. I want to find out who did it. Not like I want to embarrass him. I want to say, what are you doing? You don't touch me. No, he says this. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell at his feet. She was probably embarrassed and felt like, oh man, I shouldn't be here right now. Trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. She said, yes, I'm not, it's not what it says, I'm paraphrasing. Yes, I did touch you because honestly, I've got this thing. And I know even if it's just the power in your shirt, I believe in that. I touch that, it's going to heal me. She told him the whole truth and he says, no. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. He He says, go in peace. It actually means be made whole, be restored. Your faith has healed you, and this means in the Greek, your faith has saved you. Don't miss the type of healing that actually took place here. You look in verse 28, she was actually, in 29, her physical healing was taking place. But there's a spiritual healing that actually happened, what Jesus was more concerned with. He says, no, your faith has actually saved you. Daughter, yes, you're healed, but more than that, you're saved. In every one of his healings, Jesus is going after something other than just the physical. I want to show you in another passage. Go just to the left in Mark. Go over to Mark 2. You might remember this. We did a series a few months ago, actually in August, and it was called Through the Roof. And you might remember this story. Verse 3 in chapter 2. Some men bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. So they brought Jesus, this man, they carried him in because he can't walk. And since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, there's always a crowd around Jesus. You get this, like people are desperately attracted to Jesus because they know something's going to happen. He can heal. He can do these great, incredible things, and they can't get to him. So what do? They made an opening in the roof, and by digging through it, they lowered the mat, and the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Some of the teachers that were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knows what they're thinking. And he says, why are you thinking these things? He says this, listen to me. What is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, here, get up, take your mat, and walk? What's easy for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk out of here? He asked them that. He says, I don't want you to know that the Son of Man, me, I have authority on earth to forgive sins. Oh, and by the way, he says, tell this man right here, I get up and walk. And the man gets up in that moment and he walks out of there. Took up his mat and he walked out in full view of them all, and they were amazed, and everyone praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. So let's recap. Jesus says, okay, guys, religious snobs, people that are trying to back me into a corner, what's easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or for me to tell this man who's never walked in his life to get up and walk out of here and go home? What's obviously easier for him to do? He's obviously easier to say, I forgive your sins. There's no proof needed, right? Like, if I were to say to you, I don't know. Like, I bet you I could make this thing levitate. You'd be like, prove it. And if I didn't, I'm a failure. Like, my credibility is completely gone. It doesn't matter anything I say for the next 15 minutes. You're not going to believe a word I say because you'd think I'm a liar. So Jesus says, okay, I can show you I have forgiveness. I have the authority to forgive sins. Get up and walk. Guy gets up and walks. There's a thing in my high school, like a saying. I don't know if it's just a guy thing or whatever, but we were obsessed with, you won't. You won't. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, if you were in my group of friends, you made sure to shut your mouth on any sort of a thing that someone won't say, you won't do that. So like for me, I was a coward. I just kept my mouth shut because it was one too many you won'ts, and me doing it and embarrassing myself or hurting myself or throwing up or whatever I ate. There's this one thing called the gallon challenge I never touched. Does anyone know what the gallon challenge is? Forrest, don't it? Forrest, what is it? It's where you can't. Yeah, it's physically impossible for you to. It's not physically impossible to chug the milk. You can do it. Your stomach can't handle it, though, because in an hour, it comes back up. Not enough acid in your stomach to handle it, so it comes back up. And there's this one guy in my group that's like, dude, that's easy. What do we do? You won't. Let's go. Walmart. Now. We go literally to Walmart, grab the milk. We're in the parking lot, and he's just there chugging this milk. Like, dude, he was a man. It was whole milk. He's just chugging this. And like halfway through, he's like, oh my gosh. Like he's like, it's too late. I'm already, and he goes, and he finally, he doesn't even get through it, and it's gone. It's like, it's out, and yeah. So I've had too many gross things happening in the sermon, I just realized. The point is, don't say anything that you can't prove, right? This is not an illustration of be a man or woman of your word, but this is more of bringing it back to Jesus. In this moment, he says, listen, I have the authority to forgive sins, and here is why. I want you, sir, who's never walked in your life, to walk and go home. And he does it. And they're just like, oh, okay, we get it. Because Jesus was after something different. He was after not just that man's physical healing. Did he want to watch that guy run laps, run circles around that house and just like going crazy because he's never walked in his life? I'm sure that brought him joy. But ultimately, he was laser focused on every single one of those hearts in that room. Because here's the deal. We're not going to search for healing unless we first realize that there is a problem. We're not going to search for healing unless we first realize there's a problem. I'll just read it to you unless you want to jump ahead. It says in Mark 2:17, on hearing this, when people ask Jesus why he sits with sinners and eats with tax collectors, he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners. He says, It's a jab. He's like, no, obviously the healthy don't need a doctor, right, people? He's saying, no, like, the righteous don't need me. What he's saying is there's really no one that's righteous, but you who think you are self-righteous, he's talking to in this situation. He's like, why would you feel like you need me? You feel like you're fine. You're good on your own, but it's those who know they need God. That is who I've come to save. That's who I've come to heal. That's who can find their healing in me. One of the most uncomfortable things to tell people is that we have sin. One of the most uncomfortable things to tell people, even from the stage, because I don't know who's all in here, if this is your first time, if this is like, I'm giving God a chance today, and now there's a guy that's telling me I'm messed up. You're right. Me too. We all are. There is a problem. If you don't believe me, if you want to see pure evil, visit a preschool classroom. My wife was a preschool classroom was a teacher for 6 years. She comes home one day, walks in the door like, you will not believe what I just saw. And I've heard and I've seen a lot. I've walked in there to bring her like a snack and a treat, and I've like walked out because kids are just running around, like hitting each other. My wife's like, oh, like, what am I doing? And like this one kid, there's an altercation, and he's like, the best way to solve this, I guess, is he stands up and he pees on the kid. They're having movie time. It's really cute, movie time. They're all watching Dora the Explorer or something, and I guess these kids are shoving, and my wife says he stands up, just starts peeing. And the kid's just so, like, astounded, he's just taking it. He's just like, oh my gosh, like, just getting peed on. Pure evil. Here's my point, though, that since the very, very, very beginning of life, even babies, there's this innate sense in our hearts, we are wired with pride, with selfishness. We are wired this way. We are naturally bent towards sin. It's our first reaction in moments as humans. We're naturally bent this way. And as you get older, it doesn't get any better. Like, okay, please don't pee on someone if you guys get into one of these. Like, don't. But you get my point. It doesn't get any better. There's a problem in this world. Like I said, turn on the news for 5 minutes. It's a no-brainer. And you might be thinking, no, I'm not capable of some of the things that I've seen on the news. No, here, we all are capable of that. We are all capable. We are all wired in such a way that with one thing leading to another, we could, who knows what we could do, because in our hearts we are wired to bent towards sin, and there's a problem. There's a problem, but luckily there's an answer. And Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28 through 29. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, all of you who are tired, all of you who are just weary and burdened and broken down, and there's weight all over your life and in your heart, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart." And then listen to this. He says, "I will give you rest for your souls." There is a sense, once again, in Jesus' teaching that there is something he's going after, and it's the heart of the problem. He says, "I will find rest for your souls." Tired workers who are weary and burdened, they need refreshment. Jesus is like, "You want renewal? Do you want refreshment? Come to me." After baseball practice, we would rush to QT, and there's nothing better than getting a 32-ounce, not cubed, but crushed ice and filling that up with Mountain Dew and Sprite and everything sugar and electrolytes and just chugging that like it's nothing better on a hot summer day. Jesus is saying, "I know that you're tired. I know that your heart is burdened. I know that this world is pressing down on you. There's a hole in your heart, and I know that you know there's something missing. Come to me, and I will find you rest for your souls." Jesus asks, "You want renewal? I've got that. I went to the cross so you could have that. Are you searching for a purpose?" Jesus says. "Are you searching for healing? Are you searching for meaning? Are you trying to find whatever it is that's missing? Because there's a hole in your life and there's nothing that can fully satisfy it and fill it." He goes, "It's me." And right now he's like, "Okay, I hope I have your attention." Jesus is saying, "Right now, I hope I have your attention. If you're here and there's a hole in your heart that can't be filled, if there's healing that needs to take place right now, Jesus is saying, that is me." If you look at the Bible and you see all, just in Jesus' ministry in Matthew, you can't help but get into a chapter where there's another healing. And it's either a blind man, like seeing, or there's a deaf man that can now hear, or a paralyzed, crippled man that can walk, or all of these things. And it's like incredible to see all of these healings and these transformations. And if you've had a train wreck of a life, and like you feel like, "Oh my gosh, I can relate to this. This guy could now see when he couldn't. I've got all of this weight bringing into this room right now, and now there's healing in Jesus." And if maybe you're like me, growing up, you couldn't resonate with some of these people. You couldn't connect with the man that can now hear. You couldn't connect with someone who was crippled and now can walk, because there was such a transformation, there was such incredible healing that happened, that maybe you can't connect because you're like, "Honestly, my life hasn't been a train wreck. Honestly, like, there has been a lot of good. I grew up in the church. That was me. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. And so, like, honestly, it was an incredible home. And I had a hard time even studying it this week. I'm being really transparent with you right now. I had a hard time relating to this woman, because I didn't have a crazy life experience change when Jesus came into the picture." But here's the deal. If that's you, just like me, that can be some of the most blinding, deafening, crippling things to actually have. Because then, since you don't have a memory of who you once were, and when Jesus came in, it was like night and day, and since you can't really think back on, "Oh my gosh, all of the healing that happened, and now all of this," and you're just thinking, "Man, I've been kind of doing it myself. I've been finding my own healing." That can be some of the most blinding things to the truth that God is trying to show you, and some of the most deafening things to your ears. When you're listening, instead of your heart's motives, you should be listening to God's will and purpose. And it can be the most crippling thing when it's like, "I've gone this far on my own and I can't go anymore." I'm thinking, why can't I see stories in here of Jesus healing a broken family? Why can't I see stories in here of Jesus correcting a man's vision, but not because he's blind, but because he keeps looking at women lustfully, and he just desperately needs corrected vision so he can stop doing this. And why can't I see stories of Jesus healing a woman with body insecurities or a guy with body insecurities and identity issues? That's the kind of stories I want to hear. Does Jesus do that? Maybe that's you, and you think, those are the kind of stories I need to hear. Then I'm all in. I'm bought into Jesus. But listen to this. In John 21:25, he says, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. And were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself couldn't even contain the books that would be written." John is saying, I ran out of paper. I can't even tell you all that Jesus has done. I can't even tell you all these sorts of healings that Jesus has done. And so this is what I've got. But listen, if there were, if I could, we wouldn't have enough books in this world to contain it. And so I am confident that Jesus definitely can heal those things. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus dealt and healed with the little things in lives. But so often we run to easy fixes. And as I'm about to close here, this is what practically, I think we can really take away the easy things, right? Alcohol and drugs, even sex, even ignoring problems, trying to forget about them, or just finding what feels good, what's most comfortable, and all of these coping mechanisms is ultimately just what? A Band-Aid. Because you've recognized, okay, I've got a cut. So if I just put a Band-Aid on, that's gonna what? That's gonna hide it. I'm not gonna be able to look at that cut anymore. And if that Band-Aid it starts to come off again, maybe stuff starts to happen again. You kind of just go back to putting on that Band-Aid. Okay, I can't see it anymore. It's gone. But ultimately, it's not healed, right? Got to put that hydrogen peroxide on, that Neosporin. Watch it bubble. You got to get to the problem. All of these things are just coping mechanisms, and what is Jesus always doing? He's getting to the heart of the issue. He's addressing the problem, because things here only attack the surface level, and they don't attack the heart. And Jesus is saying, I'm after that. I'm after the heart. And I pray that today and in the last 4 weeks that we've looked at Jesus in a different light, because this is what the point of Jesus Is series is. That we learn as much as possible about Jesus. We look into as many things that he has done, and the ultimate goal, what I said 3 weeks ago, is that we can trust Jesus more. The more you know about someone, the more you're gonna trust them. You get that now with friends. It takes you a long time for you fully to trust a really good friend of yours. Someone just comes onto the scene, and they want to talk heart to heart, or they want to kind of go somewhere you don't want to go. Be like, I don't even know you yet, man. Like, back off. The more you know about Jesus, the more you can trust him. And it's a beautiful moment to end today on Jesus' healer, because in Jesus' DNA, he relentlessly pursues compassion, and he relentlessly pursues people who are oppressed and sick and healing. And if maybe you haven't been there before, maybe you're like, I have yet to experience this total life breakdown or anything, then trust this. Jesus will show up when you do. Jesus was a doctor that went after people. He wasn't just setting up shop. Went and traveled and healed, went after the hearts. And so what do we do now? I think that the best thing that we can possibly do right now in this room is remember where healing best took place. Remember where it all took place, and we're going to take communion this morning. It's been a long time since we've done this, but I can't think of a better time. And I'd like to invite the band up right now, and here's what they're going to do. They're going to play a song. It's going to be a new song. They're going to give you a little bit of space in the beginning. They're going to sing it. Don't feel forced to try and sing it immediately. Prepare your hearts for this moment. Because Jesus, when he's in his Last Supper with his disciples, he says, here's a piece of bread. And then back, and he says, here's wine if you're 21. We've got grape juice. He says, listen, this bread, this represents my body. And so when you break this bread, it's going to represent my body that was broken for you. This body that was broken for you ultimately is the cure to the problem. It's this that missing hole, that the meaning, that purpose you're searching for. Ultimately, the brokenness that you feel can be found and restored in Christ. And he did that on the cross. And he said that the wine was an example of his blood. And he said, that's shed for you. And so when you take these things, you're remembering Jesus' actions. You're remembering that cross. And here's the deal. I want to celebrate that. I don't want this to become some depressing time where, like, all of a sudden you bring to that table when you walk up all of this shame and guilt. He says, no. That's the point of the cross. You don't bring that anymore. I brought that on myself. I brought your shame and I brought your guilt and you are washed clean. The point is you celebrate the cross. So go up to that table and just be thankful that he's cured, he's healed you, he can heal you. Prepare your hearts, and as they sing this song, make your way up to one of the tables. We've got two in the back, we've got two in the front, and then I'm going to get back up at the end, and we're going to close, so you guys take the elements. Thank you, Christ, that you came, that you brought healing to the world. You came at the perfect time. You saw that there was a problem that ultimately the only cure was found in you, and thank you for doing that. Jesus, we praise you for this time that we can celebrate the cross and we can take communion and we can sing to you. And Jesus, we love you. We trust in your plan. We trust in your healing. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. It's been awesome being with you guys this morning, and if you're walking out of here and maybe you like need some next steps or whatever, like healing ultimately is this initial moment, like initially Jesus comes in and he cures, right? But like there's a process that's sometimes needed, and we have a thing called the landing here, and we've got, have people in the back that are going to be passing these out if you want to grab them. It's incredible night. It's on Fridays, every Friday. It doesn't ever get canceled, and it's a time for you guys to come in and find more healing. To worship, to talk and pray with one another, and it's kind of some next steps. So if you want to grab one of those, you can. But have an awesome day today. Go whatever team. And if you don't like football and you could care less, then have a great day too. All right. See you guys.